Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Praise the Lord, everybody down here. Praise the Lord in Upper Venue. I know they'd like to get their praise on. And everyone watching online, God bless you. Thank you so much, Will. Let's get straight into the word. I like to pray. Just bow your heads and pray. Lord, I just thank you for today. I thank you for what you've done and what you're doing. I thank you for your word. It brings light and it brings life. And I pray that the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ will shine bright in here today. God, I pray that you will break up the fallow ground of the heart, that a word can be planted that not changes us just for today, but forever, Lord. Thank you for the privilege to sit under the preached word of God. Now think through my mind and speak through my mouth. Let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, you're my strength and redeemer. And every happy and glad heart say amen. Praise the Lord. I'm concluding our series on outpouring today. This is the word that God spoke over our church at the beginning of the year, and it is a privilege to receive this word. I have been reviewing this word and what God meant by it, and hopefully today we will conclude in such a way that it elevates your life to places you didn't even think about. I want to start by telling you what 2 Chronicles 20:20 says, believe his prophets and so shall you prosper. When you stand in this office and you stand in this place, you've got to get the prophetic word of God, and that word over your life is outpouring. And God says he would do nothing except he first reveal his secrets to his prophets. This is not a casual thing that the Lord would give us such a word. Remember, the outpouring wasn't just that you had a word, but is that you had it over and over and over again, and it was so precious that you needed to go back in the history of your life and see all of the places that God has spoken to you, reclaim those words, because they were still the word over your life, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Now, sitting in the last service during the worship, God revealed something to me that I had never seen before. I didn't even plan to say it today, but he gave me an insight that was pretty phenomenal, because I understand that God wants us to have his word so that we can prosper. But prosperity and the word prosperity almost has become a dirty word, as if the devil made it or something, especially when it happens in church, because we don't want to be in this category of people who have made it feel negative, you know, name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, you know, whatever, you know, people say that makes, disturbs that thing in you that thinks, you know, that's a bad word. But in actuality, that word is connected to the salvation that Jesus provided for you. And when you look at it that way, you don't want to let the enemy take something from you. You just want it viewed through the correct lens. So today I'm coming to reclaim that which God spoke. So when I go back to God showing me this in Genesis 26, 27, and 28, it hit me. Now watch this. The Bible says that he created them, male and female, and he blessed them, and he said to them, be fruitful. In other words, it says, prosper. I'm just going to stop right there. You mean to tell me, because it made me mad, the first word that God ever spoke to man was prosper. But yet someone will come and try to make this a bad word, but the first word my king spoke in Genesis 27 was, he blessed me and he said, prosper. Now I believe that's powerful and undeniable. And if God would give me that word, then it's not bad. And what he's given us now along with that word is how to get it active and activated in your life. I'm going to deal with it today. And I'm going to bring you that word. But God was more specific with me as I began to prepare for this message. And I just had to write down what the Lord said. So let me read the word over your life. that you might receive it and be happy about it. The word outpouring was spoken over your life by God the Holy Spirit. I was meant to remind you that you currently have some great and precious promises from the Lord. It was intended to tell you how you partner with the Holy Spirit to activate these promises in your life. The Lord has decided to bless you this year because we were faithful to act on His word. Harvest time, this is the season of reaping, yet still sowing. I am giving you much seed, saith the Lord. This seed is coming in the form of strength that you might sow strength, joy that you might sow joy, wealth that you might sow wealth. I, the Lord, give to you so that you can give and keep giving. Think it not strange that I pour out my spirit upon you this way. Think it not strange that I now call you blessed, for blessed is your new name, and it is the key to your new life. I, the Lord, have spoken it over you this day, and I will not take it back. Blessed, blessed, blessed. In the next 3 months, you will see blessing after blessing after blessing show up in your life. Only believe, saith the Lord. Now, maybe you're not excited about that, but I'm excited about that because God has given me His unmerited, undeserved, unwarranted favor. He has looked on my life and your life and said, we are blessed. And when He says you're blessed, you're blessed. When I look at the first man and woman, He called them blessed, and then He told them to prosper. Then He gave them the process of prosperity. This is what He's doing to us, church. In Genesis, when He made the first tree and He made all of the vegetation, He made a distinction. He said, I'm giving you fruit with the seed in it. God gives you not just, I think I'll say it like this. Go to Isaiah 55. Let's just read it so we can see it together. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Our natural resting position is not to think just like God. In other words, God has a way of doing things and functioning that is not your natural inclination nor your natural choice. His ways are not like your ways. You would not choose to do it this way if you had the power to do whatever you wanted. He says, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes out of my mouth. It shall not return empty, but it shall accomplish what I wish or purpose, and it shall succeed wherever it goes. God gives us the word just like He gives rain to the ground so that something can grow. And when God gives you any type of seed, any type of resource, a portion of it is for you, for bread, for your own personal joy, enjoyment, sustaining. And then a portion of it is seed. He gives bread to eat and seed to sow. And that is for you to multiply. The first command was He blessed them and He says, prosper. Then He says, reproduce. Then He says, fill the earth. Then He says, rule over it. So you've got to understand God's system is a seed sowing system. If you have an apple and you eat the whole apple, the rind and all of the seeds, then you have no more apples that you can produce. But if you eat the apple and you store the seeds and you sow the seeds, He will multiply your store of seed. God has given us an outpouring of what? His word. The first word He gave to man that He was prosperous, that He was to be fruitful in what? In everything He did by understanding the process. Okay, I'll say it this way. He says, Matthew, I think it's 6:33, says, let me get it right. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added that you need. Seek ye first, this is how the Amplified says it, God's way of doing things and being right in the earth, and everything else you need will be added. The first thing he did was tell you to prosper. The way he wants you to prosper is through sowing. If Adam could eat all the trees of the garden, but he did never till the ground and keep on planting, eventually he's going to run out. God wants you to prosper. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to reflect on what he said, not that he's just able to do it. He wants it done in your life. The greatest things in my life happened, I remember, when I started trusting God and sowing. I'm not just talking about sowing finances to prosper. I'm talking about the way you sow your life to prosper. When you become a volunteer, when you start giving ideas, when you start giving finance, anything that God has blessed you with, when you take a portion of it, your time, talent, treasure, and you begin to sow it for the benefit of his kingdom, in any way, he begins to multiply what you have. He multiplies the strength that you deplete for someone else. He multiplies the joy that you deplete for someone else. He multiplies the wealth that you deplete for somebody else by sowing into their life or sowing into their ministry or giving of yourself in any way. God's word over us is that we're blessed because we understand prosperity's process is a seed sowing process, a law called reciprocity. You must sow in order to reap. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. You are the sum total, James Lowe, of everything you've sown. You are the sum total, James Lowe, of everything you have sown or failed to sow. James Lowe, you are where you want to be based on your participation in the process. Because the outpouring works not just because God said something, but it initiated you doing something based on what he said. Oh, I got a word, but what are you doing with it? Nothing but waiting. Okay. Well, you're not activating it. God needs you to do your part. The people that we're going to talk about today in the Bible are in Deuteronomy 8. This people, this children of Israel that we have talked about over and over and over again, are people who seem to find themselves always forgetting the great things that God has done. And today I want us to reflect on their story to see that as God takes us into a season, church, of blessing, this is your season where God is not taking from you but giving to you. But you will determine whether you get what they got, just enough to live, food, clothes, shelter, water, you know, an opportunity to get in the promise, or whether you and I will actually cross over and go to the promised land, partnering with God to sow and reap in the land. It requires you to do something besides wait at the mailbox. You should never wait at your mailbox if you know you didn't do any work that deserves receiving a check. You're not going to win the sweepstakes, and even if you don't apply and play. You got to do something. Do something. You're just not going to win. All right, verse 1, I'm going to show you three things. Is that God's word has a process, or God's promise has a process that you've got to follow in order to extract the good that is promised to you. The next thing is, when you get that word and that process, you must ponder the results. You must meditate on them, that you will be careful to repeat them when they happen, when the opportunity comes for them to repeat, to happen again. And finally, you must understand that this word that he's given and spoken over your life is the power to succeed and win in every category of your life if you get it, if you understand it. You will be tremendously blessed by it. Here's the first verse, Deuteronomy 8, verse 1. The whole commandment that I command you this day, ye should be careful to do it. Don't just be hearers of my word, but doers of my word. That ye might live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give you and your fathers. If you're going to make it, you're going to have to sow in the land in order to multiply. You're going to have to do the commandments. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that you might, he might humble you and test you, that he might know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandment or not. Sometimes we feel like we're going through such hard times, and God seems to be unaware, but he's aware that you're in hard times. He's aware that you're in a struggle. He's aware that you're going through turmoil and all of this, but he leaves you in that situation to test you, not to find out for himself if you're going to do his commands, but really for you to find out whether there's enough word in you, enough relationship with you, enough conviction about what God has said to actually do his process to get out of your problem. There's only so much he's going to do to graduate you, and then you're going to have to participate with him to get the full measure of the promise. I'm sorry. I know that you thought just getting the prophetic word was enough. I know. It's not enough. Because every prophetic word calls you to action. Causes you to do something to activate your faith. So he will allow you to be tested. He will allow you to stay in a tough place. He allowed the children of Israel to stay in the wilderness longer because they refused to partner with him on getting to the promised land. Because when they knew the word, when they had the word, they still rejected the word because of fear, doubt, unbelief. And God waited 40 years for that generation that would have the promise and not activate the process to just die off. And he took the men that held on to the word and said, we are more than capable, even in our weakened condition, in our own eyes, to take the land that is occupied by giants. We can do it. But as long as you keep hearing the word and failing to do your part of crossing over and acting on the word by it's doing God's process, then you won't get what the word promised. Amen. You'll say, I thought the pastor said that we was blessing in the next three months. We was going to see great blessings by the end of the year. I'm just waiting on my great blessings to find out if he is really a prophet. Then the word's going to come true. Because if I just said the prophet lied, he's supposed to die. But I want to know, because he said that was a word from the Lord. Where's my blessing? Where's my blessing? Where's my stuff? You know, it's hot out here. You know, my shoes. You know, stop. My responsibility, because I wrote it down, was to get what God says and give it to you. But let me understand, help you understand what your responsibility is. It's to participate in the process. You can't get out of that part. No sowing, no reaping. You just get what I call the minimum basic needs from God. Food, clothes, shelter, health. But that don't translate to wealth, prosperity. But that's the word over the first man's life. In fact, I say the Holy Ghost, when they sinned, the word to prosper, be fruitful, and multiply, and rule over the earth did not change. When he destroyed the whole world and saved 8 souls, Noah and his family, the first thing he said to them when they got off the boat was, prosper, be fruitful, and rule. Don't you get it, beloved? The word hadn't changed over you. I don't care how much the devil may make you feel like it's a dirty word. You have this. Of course he's going to come after that word. He don't want you. He wants you frustrated. He wants you living beneath your privilege. But what if the secrets were not in the devil's hands? But what if God had given you the secrets and the only thing you have to do is apply it? through the process. I say that, Holy Ghost. He says, here's how the kingdom of God works. Remember, seek ye first the kingdom and all his righteousness and everything else will be added. He said, the kingdom works like this. He said, a man gets up and he goes and scatters seed. He goes to sleep. The seed begins to grow. He knows not how. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear, and immediately he puts it to sickle, for the harvest has come. In other words, he's saying, the just shall live by his faith. Faith comes by hearing a word and applying it to the process of sowing it in your heart and then reaping it. The benefits. He then gives you a sign that looks like a little blade coming up out of the ground. Then he gives you a stalk. Then he gives you the full fruit in the ear so you can put it to sickle. But as long as you look at God as if, when is he going to show up? And then you keep on eating up all of your seed instead of sowing it in the ground, then you're not going to understand the process. I'm trying to say, you free. I'm free because I'm sowing. I'm telling you, I look at my wife and say, baby, let me help you understand something. We sowing big. And she said, well, where are you getting it from? I said, that's a sacrifice. She said, you sure? I said, I'm acting on the word. You have to act on the word. Isaac sowed. Yeah, I guess Lord don't want me to get off of this. Isaac sowed in a famine and received 100-fold. And then when he not only sowed, but kept on sojourning and kept on acting the way God told him to act, he got the word of prosperity because God spoke up and said, I'm not just going to bless you, but I'm going to bless your children's children. And all of you are a blessing to Isaac. Everybody that sits in this room is a blessing to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because we're the fulfillment of a prophetic word that God has for them. And we're the beneficiaries of it. So when you receive the word that God gives you, it not only blesses you, it blesses everybody that you love and even people that you don't know because you send it. You don't know people in India that you sold into the missions offering and then you reach people who are going back to their nations to reach other people. You don't know what happens when you reach somebody in Jamaica and they can end up being the next world leader or somebody that solves a problem. See, the kingdom of God process is so much bigger than you. You're not just called to see yourself prosper and the people around you prosper, but you're to rule and govern over the earth. In other words, the whole system of the world can collapse, but God's system will not collapse. The whole Roman Empire, which was the biggest empire at the time, collapsed. It went down, but the church stood up strong, and the church still exists. You're sitting in this room because the church of Rome did not crumble. It did not break. It did not falter because it was built on a word from God, and the people began to have everything in common and soul with one another. It's a process. Sowing, reaping. What verse am I on? I'll just start at one. He says, did I already say, so shall your word be, the man will live by bread alone? Okay, well, I'm on three. And he humbled you and let you hunger, and he fed you manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that ye might make known to you that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. How do you live? By this word. He gave you manna, you didn't know what it was. God lets you hunger. God will let you hunger, meet your minimum basic needs in a way you don't even know how it's happening, just so that you can reflect on the fact that it was God who delivered you and God who set you free with his process of giving you a word that said, baby, it's going to be all right. God's going to bless you. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. God watches over. He sends his word, then he watches over his word to perform it. If he says something to you about lifting you up out of the situation you're in, he's going to do it. And because God lifts you up, then he gives you to understand it wasn't about you. You didn't know how. how he was going to do it. It wasn't something that was familiar to you. It wasn't based on your own strength. And I know that a lot of us believe at times that we have gotten where we're at based on our own strength. You know, I'm really smart. You know, I was valedictorian. You know, Bruce, I'm sorry. He up and up with me. But, this is it. It's not about you. It's not about your mind. It's not about how strong I was. It's not about how athletic you are. Everything, the Bible says, everything you have was given to you, so why do you boast as if it wasn't given to you? Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above and proceeds from the Father of lights, where there is no variance or shadow of turning. God gives you everything that pertains unto life and godliness. Everything you have comes from him. Everything you have is initiated by him. The process, but will you and I participate so we can go on to obeying the command that says, prosper. Prosper. He said their clothes didn't wear out. I don't want to use a paraphrase. He said their clothes didn't wear out, and he begins to say, I'm going to take you to this land as you walk with me. It's a good land, verse 7, with brooks of water, of fountains of springs, flowing out valleys and hills, a land where wheat and barley and vines of fig trees and pomegranates, land of olive trees and honey, and land which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will not lack nothing. A land whose stones are of iron and out of whose hills you dig copper. And you shall eat and be full. And you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. You're going to eat and be full and bless the Lord. He tells them they're going to go to the promised land and it's got all of these good stuff. He said it's water there before he gave water out of a rock. He said, there's plenty of food there. They had to get bread from heaven for 40 years. He said, there's iron. There's everything you need to do what I first commanded you to do before you entered into slavery and you were broken by the enemy and you couldn't receive my word that helps you initiate the process of being self-sustaining, because it's not my will to be there holding your hand your whole life, because that's not living. I want you to live by faith. Man just shall live by faith, and that's living by my word, and that's living by the seed sowing process. But when you get in the land, if you like the barley, if you like the pomegranate tree, you're going to have to take care of it. You're going to have to eat some and sow some. That's just what he's telling them. And if you keep eating all your seed, you're not going to be full. You're going to be hungry. Hangry. That's angry and hungry at once. Just hangry. Now, when you believe this, you've got to ponder it. Word makes you ponder. Verse 11, take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you this day, lest you, when you have eaten and been full and have built good houses and live in them, and when you have herds and flocks that multiply, your silver and your gold and all that you have multiplies, then your heart will be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with the fiery serpents and the scorpions and the thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flint rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do good to you in the end. In other words, God is saying, look, remember, I was with you. Meditate on this fact. Ponder this fact of how many times I delivered you out of the hand of the enemy, the Egyptians, all of the plagues, all of the ways I fed you. You know, you and I have to personally put God back into our life. Because one of the signs that we are not understanding the process and pondering it is that we stop worshiping God with our whole heart. But see, I remember when God spared my life in about 5 different car accidents. I remember when God kept me from being murdered and murdering other people. I remember when there was nothing in my mind And I was confused and lost, and I couldn't understand. I couldn't read. I couldn't function. I had no future. That God, because I picked up the Bible and said, Lord, I'm so committed to this Bible that I'm going to put it in me, even though I look like Chinese to me. And I'm going to put it in me, and you're going to regulate my mind. You're going to fix me. Because I heard somebody preach, God, that all we had to do was apply the word. I'm going to apply every principle that you have. And he touched my mind. I didn't have a future. I wasn't somebody that you would look at and say, he's great. My mama would tell you, she was sitting right here, baby, we didn't think you was making, you wasn't smart. You know, she said we did all we could, you know, to help you learn and grow, and you just wasn't getting it, but God touched me. So I don't care if you want to praise him. I don't care if you forget his process. I won't forget that he rescued me with a word, and that word was life and sustaining to my soul. You've got to remember and reflect on the number of times that you applied the word when your back was against the wall, when you didn't have nothing. Well, maybe you're saying, well, God never did it like that for me. You've already forgot him, because nothing that you have comes from you. It's not your strength that has gotten you here. And the reason we show up at a worship service is to thank him, because if it had not been for Jesus that was on your side, where would you be? Where would I be? You would not have hope. You would not have children. You would not have house. It's his mercy that we would not consume. It's his mercy you made it to college. It's his mercy you made it out of that bad neighborhood. It's his mercy you didn't get in a car accident. It's his mercy that he routed out disease in your life. It's just his mercy. It is a gift from God. It is a gift. Don't forget it. Joshua, in fact, hearing all that Moses is writing, said, oh, I'm going to remember. Because Moses, after 40 years, this is where they're at, 40 years of being in the wilderness, 40 years of being cared for by God, but refusing to cross over. God has given them a second chance. Moses not even make it, because he got mad at the people because they wouldn't receive the word. Y'all ain't going to get me. I'm going. The people have fear, doubt, and unbelief. But Joshua said, not in my generation. He said, let me tell y'all something. When he first got the mantle from Moses, he said, this book of the law, Joshua 1:8, shall not depart from my mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to observe all that is written, for then you will make your way prosperous and have good success. God told them what to do and how to do it. And you know what they did? They took that word and they went over into Jericho and they beat Jericho down, not because they were mightier, but they had a mighty God on their side. In that first city, everything in that city belonged to God. The first always belonged to God. That's why God says, give you the first fruit. The first man that ever gave something to God was a man named Abel, and he brought the first, the best, the fattest. When you and I think about God last, when it comes to sowing, it is an act of worship to God. It is an off principle, because Abel established the principle. The Bible says Abel offered the sacrifice by faith. That means he offered it based on God's instruction, God's word. And what was God's word? Give me your best first. Well, the government took mine. No. Give God your best first. We'll let everybody else take everything they want, and then we'll get around to God. Well, you know, God, and God is the only one promising us a law that gives us something back. Amen. Joshua beats them, and then they say, we're going to go down to Ai. That's another little city there. And if we beat Jericho, this little people right here, we can beat them. Bible said, they said, let's send 3,000 people. We'll whoop them fast. Well, Ai kicked them right. See, y'all minding right. I don't even accidentally. Some people accidentally say, well, I don't accidentally say them. They're not in me. But I'm saying he just kicked them out. Y'all projecting on me. Okay, he kicked those people out. He defeated those little 3,000 people. People got killed. Joshua came in crying, Lord. The Bible said he fell out prostrate for the Lord. He fasted, Lord, you said in your word that we was gonna beat the enemy. If he came at us one way, we were supposed to take it. What's up, Lord? And everything. And the Lord said, get up, Joshua. I haven't done anything to you. Relax, Josh. You need to check your camp. You in here checking me about my word. My word goes out, don't return, boy. So at some point, Josh, somebody didn't keep the conditions. Because I said, you can't touch all the stuff that's in here. Somebody then took some stuff that belonged to me first. The first city belonged to me. They didn't took the stuff. So you go find them. And so Josh said, Lord, I'm sorry. Let me dry my eye. He said, all y'all line up. And he checked the camp. And he lined them up one by one. Each family. And he got to a guy named Achan. And he said, Achan, praise God. And Achan couldn't praise God because conviction hit Achan that he was in sin. And he said, and Joshua said, oh, you can't praise him? Tell me what you done. He said, well, you know, I saw some gold in a rack of clothes, and it was sweet gold. I just took it. I buried it in my house. It's in my house right now. I'm sorry. They said, go get it. He said, Achan, thank you. But get your family and all that stuff, and they stoned him. Now, that's how they handled it back then. that's in the book. He's righteous, he don't do nothing wrong, so hey, that's how it went. They got stoned. And guess what? They went down to AI and won, and they kept on winning battle after about 10 years. They were winners. Because you got to check you first. And when you and I can't praise God with all, why don't we praise him when we hear the word? What is it in us that can hear that we have eternal life and we have health and wealth and everything we need? We have intimacy with God. We got access to God. And it doesn't ignite a fire in us of the raising of the hands or the bowing of the knee or the extreme worship of God. It's because we've been blinded. And at some point, we're not participating. And when we're not participating, we're withholding not just the blessing that should come to you, but the blessing that's supposed to come to everybody through you. You don't just hold it up for you. You hold it up for the next generation, generation after them, and you can't get what Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob have, which is all of you in the room, because we're not participating in the sowing process. Achan was holding back. I don't believe anybody's going to be stoned in here. Just relax. There's no, they don't come from heaven. Wait, some rocks coming. No, you're all right. Finally, verse 17 helps us understand that there's power to do everything I'm saying. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. Ye shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you and I the power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, and anytime you are not worshiping the Lord the way he says, you are worshiping something else. I don't care if you, it's not about putting up an idol in your life. You might be your own idol. You might be in love with your way of thinking and doing things instead of his way of thinking and doing things. Look, it's just, you're the same guilt. It's idolatry. All right. Thank you, somebody. I know we're at the end of this. You can almost get out. He says, like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so shall you perish because you would not obey the voice of the Lord. Let me help you understand. If you and I forget to do the word of God, the process, if we don't ponder it, if we don't meditate it, if we somehow believe after God gives us the victory over one city like Jericho or a few victories, that it was something about us that is why we got where we are. Your house is not from you, it's from the Lord. Your car is not from you, it's from the Lord. Your health is not because of your good eating, though your good eating aids in the process, is from the Lord. There's enough things that have happened that could have wiped any of us out. the lady sung for sung from Norway. There's calamity that's everywhere. I could have been at the Boston Marathon watching Carol run and lost my life because I was standing where the bomb went off when that happened. But the Lord told me not to go. There's so many things that are miraculous about why we are here. And my question to us in the upper venue, my question to us right here is, will we forget the Lord or remember the Lord? Stand to your feet. Here's the final promise of Deuteronomy. And here's what I hope you remember, as you won't have to after the day for a while, hear something like this. I hope you get the promise that says, if you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all that is written, then he'll make you prosperous and he'll bless you. These blessings will find you and overtake you. Be blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed in the store. He says, if your enemy come against you one way, he'll flee from you seven ways. He said, the womb will be blessed. And anybody who works from you, work for you, will be blessed. He called your name blessed. My challenge today is, let us as a church hearken diligently, consistently to the voice of the Lord our God, to restore to him that which belongs to him. But really, it's a command for us to prosper. It's a command and opportunity. I declare that we're blessed today, but we've got to ponder what God says. We got to meditate on it. If you don't meditate on it, it'll be stolen from you. And you've got to understand the process, that it's just sowing and reaping. And you got to understand it's not your power. It's not by power. It's not by might, but it's by spirit, by your heads. Lord, I just thank you for everyone in the room. I thank you, God, that it's you who gives us the power to get wealth. The first word you said to man was prosper. Be fruitful. Multiply. Fill the earth. Rule over it. Thank you for that word. It's not a bad word. It's a good word. Thank you for teaching us today that the word has a process of activation. It's just a law of sowing and reaping. Give us to meditate, God, on what you've done for us in the past, when you corrected people in the past, that we might walk in the right path and that we would never be those people who forget you. That is your power that has sustained us, that has saved us, that has gotten us where we need to be. So I declare in agreement with the word you gave us earlier that we are blessed and our name is blessed. And before this year ends, all of us who participate in the doing part of the word will receive the great reward of prosperity. Bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Give God a hand clap of praise if you believe that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pastor Justin, you have it in the upper venue. Liz, I bring you greetings up there. Liz Young is upstairs, by the way. That was the lead pastor, her and Pastor Rafe of Bethel Franklin, and they're upstairs, Liz is, and Campbell. And so God bless them. Now, ministry team, come down. If you have any ministry team, come on down. If you have any prayer needs whatsoever, we are so willing to pray for you for anything. Come, ministry team. Y'all don't be scared. Just come down. I especially want to pray for any women who are believing God for children or to open up your womb. I've had a burden for that in 6 a.m. prayer today, and I want to pray for you. And remember this. I don't think I'll say that last thing. Our church doesn't want anything from you. I just want everybody to hear the word and respond to God. When it comes to sowing, especially maybe your time somewhere, maybe it's not all here. Maybe your treasure somewhere. Maybe it's not all, that's not wrong. The point is that you participate in God's process because you have a word that he's prospering you. So hear the word of the Lord. Lord, so bless your people today. Keep us in the center of your will as the apple of your eye. We'll give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.